And our focus this year through the study that the Vineyards put out, the Holy Spirit in Lent.
Yes.
You know, just, and I said in the email yesterday, I think one of our biggest needs is to get in touch with our souls, to know what is the condition of our soul. And, you know, we hear more and more this question, how is your soul? And the average person, if you ask them, how is your soul, they kind of look at you like deer in the headlights. It's like, what does that mean? I don't know. What are you talking about? And so I think the emphasis throughout the worship this morning and these words have been just a confirmation that, you know, we really need to get in touch with what our soul is going through, what our soul is feeling, what it's like. And so we're going to kind of introduce this Lent season this morning, and then we'll go through the 4 weeks here coming up starting next week. But so this morning I'm just calling them Keith up the ante last week, so I figured I had to give you a handout since I got away with it for like 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And but I'm calling this morning's Holy Spirit Soul Spa. And there's this quote I love from Parker Palmer from his book A Hidden Wholeness, and I've got it there on the notes. The soul is like a wild animal, tough, resilient, resourceful, savvy, self-sufficient. It knows how to survive in hard places, but it's also shy. Just like a wild animal, it seeks safety in the dense underbrush. If we want to see a wild animal, we know the last thing we should do is go crashing through the woods, yelling for it to come out. But if we walk quietly into the woods, sit patiently by the base of the tree, and fade into our surroundings, the wild animal we seek might put in an appearance. And so if the soul is like that, little wonder that we haven't seen our souls in a while or been in touch with what's going on there. And so another author, I tried to find where I got this, so this is not original, but I can't cite it because I couldn't find where I read it. Or maybe I'm making it up, I don't know. But it says, our soul is that place at the very center of our being that is known by God,
yes,
that is grounded in God, and is one with God. But we're distracted in our day. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, Sue would often say after our 7 years in France, moving back here, it's like, it is so loud here. There's so much noise everywhere. And especially in restaurants. I mean, our restaurants are so loud. You know, it's just like, give me a break. And so, but there's noise everywhere. Our advertising, our signs, and now that we've developed LED on our road signs on the side of the highway, they're almost blinding at night when they shine up. So, you know, everything is really loud. And so in the midst of all the stuff and all the social media demands where we are literally attached to our devices. You know, there's just so much demand. Yes, I know, several people just put their phones down, but we just know that that's the way it is. So, the Holy Spirit is always calling us to attention, calling us to pay attention, to calling us to see where we're at. And so, you know, this further in the study, I didn't write it down in your notes, but it's tricky to get the soul to come out, the author says. We're not very safe for ourselves because our internal experience, this was really shocking to me, our internal experience involves continual critique and judgment, and the tender soul does not want to risk it. I thought, is that really true? And so, you know that the inner voice, that conversation that's always going on between the ears? Have you ever tried to stop it? And if you're like some, you know, you go to bed at night when it's all quiet and everything is calm, and the voice finally gets a chance to be heard, and then falling asleep is just about impossible because it's just the chatter is going on between your ears and you just can't quite slow it down. So I like, you know, this is shocking, but we are not very safe for ourselves.
Right.
Because our internal experience, not what anyone else says, our internal experience involves continual critique and judgment. And the tender soul, our tender soul, does not want to come out and doesn't want to risk it. Unfortunately, a lot of our religious activity is very noisy as well. Oftentimes, we're just an organized group of people crashing through the woods together, making so much noise that there's not a soul in sight. And so when we try to examine, like, what is the condition of my soul? If someone asks us, how is your soul? We haven't seen our soul in maybe ages because we have no idea. This place at the very center of our being that is known by God, is grounded in God, and is one with God, hasn't made an appearance, maybe in a very, very long time. And so this Lent experience this year, these 40 days, and, you know, so Reagan Wagner, Bert Wagner's son, is the one who wrote the study for us, The Holy Spirit in Lent, that I sent you the PDF file, so I'm sure you've all made copies and put them in various places around your house already. One of the things he does, he turns the perspective around, because we think of the 40 days that Jesus spent in the desert as just this horrible, lonely, awful thing to just endure. But you know what it says in John chapter 4? How did he get to the desert? The Holy Spirit led him into the desert. Didn't send him into the desert. The Holy Spirit led him into the desert. And Scripture says he went into the desert full of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was fully present. And 11 verses later, what does it say? Jesus came back full of the power of the Holy Spirit. So what were those 40 days like? They were empowering days. Because Jesus, as a man, was led by the Spirit to get in touch with his Spirit. And what did he do when he came back full of the Spirit from his 40 days in the desert? He started his public ministry, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So this 40 days, as we go through this study in the Holy Spirit and Lent, I want us to just be aware of our souls as we go through and... So I want us to look at several psalms this morning, because the psalmists, you know, they're in touch with a little bit of their emotions. And so there's several verses that talk about the soul. And I want us to look at that this morning and say, well, what is it about our souls? Because we have a hard time sometimes defining it. Like, what? I don't know what the soul is. But so in Psalm 23, for example, Psalm 23:3, the psalmist says, he leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. So what is the psalmist saying about the soul here? It needs to be restored. It can be restored. And isn't it interesting? Where is the soul restored in this psalm?
In peace.
In peace. In quiet waters. In still waters.
Yes.
Not in screaming, yelling crowds, but in quietness and in peace. So it's another thing we understand about the soul. In Psalm 34, verse 2, I don't know if you have your analog Bibles, it's easier to turn in those, but in Psalm 34, verse 2, he says, my soul will boast in the Lord, and let the afflicted hear and rejoice. So what can the soul do in 34, 2? The soul boasts in the Lord. Isn't that interesting? The soul then, according to the psalmist, has the capability of responding to the Lord by boasting. I wonder what that would be like if our souls boasted in the Lord. I think that's worth pondering. Like, has my soul ever boasted in the Lord? Yeah. And I think sometimes, you know, as Horace was saying this morning, the worship was just so awesome this morning. So
oh, yeah.
Intimate, you know, don't you want to, you know, and then what Joan was saying, the only reason we sing exuberantly is because we can't fly. You know, maybe that's boasting. Maybe that's what part of it is in here, in this, what we can do, what our soul can do. Then moving on to Psalm 42, verse 1, this famous verse, and sometimes I like the Psalms, but going back to the NIV, Psalm 42:1 says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. What is the imagery of the soul there? Thirsty.
Yes.
Needing a drink. I don't know, have we ever been so thirsty that you just thought you weren't going to make it?
Mm-hmm.
And so dry and just like, oh, I need water. I mean, I don't think we've ever been caught in the desert and seeing an oasis in the distance necessarily. But if we're, the more thirsty we are, the more we just, you know, and the panting is almost like the imagery of a dog,
right.
You know, panting and trying to bring some, getting some moisture out of the air or something, trying to get revived. And so as a deer pants for the stream, so my soul pants for you. So have we ever been in touch with our soul enough to feel a panting after the Lord, just a desiring for the Lord, like our throats and our mouths, and they're all dry, need a drink? Have we ever felt that our souls are just dying for a drink from the Lord? And that wonderful imagery. I love that imagery. And then in the same psalm, in chapter 40, Psalm 42, verse 11, the psalmist says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. So what is this telling us about the soul? It can be downcast, sad, so disturbed within us, just feeling so alone, like Keith was talking about this morning, when it feels like the lights have gone out, you know, and it's like God's not there. We say the heavens are brass, and you're just so desperate and you're so discouraged. It just feels like nothing is going right, and we're all by ourselves, and there's no hope for us. And I really love that the psalmist says, why so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? And then he says in the same breath, put your hope in God. Like, get your act together, soul, and put your hope back in God. What do you think you're doing here? For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And I don't know about you, but I've had to kind of give my soul a prep talk sometimes, because, you know, we've been going through the Enneagram and kinship, and I've been learning a lot about my personality type, and some of it's embarrassing, and you know, some of it I recognize my inner voice really talks me into a dark, dead end sometimes. I don't need anybody else's help. I can do it to myself. And now I realize, you know what? Part of the downside of this personality type, famously known as a 4, part of the downside is I'm my own worst enemy. I don't even need anybody else telling me bad news. I can just do it to myself. I can just sit and just talk myself into a funk. And it's just ridiculous. And so every once in a while, I just have to say, get your act together and start up. I can do it, you can't. Okay, so in Psalm 62, verse 5, just in case anybody had ideas. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could slap me upside the head. Well, and Sue can too, I guess everyone else, she needs to do that. In Psalm 62, verse 5, the psalmist says, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. And then verse 6, he alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. Boy, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? We do this every Sunday.
We don't talk.
That's it.
We don't talk.
We don't talk. We just sing it out.
No, we don't talk beforehand.
Oh, right. No, on purpose we don't, because I love that. I love this when this happens. So the psalmist says, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. So what's the psalmist saying about his soul?
He can find rest.
He can find rest because it needs rest.
Yes.
because it gets troubled, and because it is like us, and it is shaken, and it's in need of a fortress.
Yes.
It's in need of a rock, and it's in need of salvation. And so the psalmist says to his unruly soul, hey, find rest in God alone. And so our souls sometimes, and I think I mentioned in, you know, I used the word beleaguered yesterday in my little email blog thingy, whatever it's called. You know, it just gets worn out. It gets wearied with so many voices and so much noise and so many issues and so many shootings and so much political turmoil and so much junk from around the world. And it just, you know, the more you listen, the harder it is to stay above board. You know, you just feel like your soul is sinking in the mire. And sometimes just listening to a news report or reading a news feed, you could just feel slimed, you know? And sometimes you just feel like you need to pick yourself up and go take a shower just to get that stuff off so you can feel like you're human again. So I love it that the psalmist is recognizing this, that his soul needs to find rest in God alone. And 63:8, so we just make our way through these verses here, he says, my soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. And just before that he said, because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. What's he saying about his soul? Needs someone to cling to. Needs a hand to hold on to. When you're walking through the dark spaces, and who hasn't? We need to know that there's a hand holding on. A hand that guides us, a hand that is certain of the way, knows where the obstacles are, and gives us hope. His right hand, God's right hand upholds him. And then in 94:19, and there's plenty more, but I just picked out these seven this morning because I thought these are, as we move into this season, it's really important. He says, in verse 18, when I said my foot is slipping, your love, O Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul.
Yes, Lord.
Your consolation brought joy to my soul. When anxiety was great within me. So what are we hearing about the soul here?
It can be anxious.
It can be anxious. Has your soul ever been anxious? Yeah. Have we ever needed someone to console us, to bring perspective? One of the many beautiful things about the Psalms is they are just gut level honest. They are raw. You get every emotion in the book, literally. And so he's yelling and screaming, and he wants his enemies beheaded sometimes and torn to shreds. And then he asks for soul and peace and joy for his soul. So just from these seven verses, I think it shows us how easily attacked our souls are. And how much all the noise around us causes our souls to hide. And so I think in this season of Lent in 2018, as we go through our study, as we consider what the Holy Spirit did for Jesus, he led him through those 40 days in the desert, empowering him, that we would get in touch with our souls, that we would allow him to speak deeply to our souls, that we would even find time to get beside some quiet waters somewhere, whatever quiet waters are for you. And, you know, even as we went through this image of, you know, oftentimes we're just an organized group of people crashing through the woods together, making so much noise, there's not a soul in sight. You know, I just got this image of my soul hiding under the brush, just saying, I can't come out right now while he's like this. And, you know, I think that's it. I'm so whatever, I'm so extreme, I'm so one way or the other way, that the soul says, it's just not safe to come out, so I think I'll just hide in the underbrush until he chills out just a bit, and then maybe I'll poke my head out and see if it's safe. And so the imagery of our soul is wild animals hiding until it's quiet, and there's been enough quiet for enough time that maybe it's time I can come out and know what God has for me. And so, just as we close up this morning, looked at this verse in Isaiah that came to me this morning as where I was finishing up, and this is out of the Message. Your salvation requires you to turn back to me and stop your silly efforts to save yourself. Your strength will come from settling down in complete dependence on me, the very thing you've been unwilling to do. I wish Isaiah hadn't said that. Because it's so sweet, you know, and in the King James and in the NIV, it's so sweet up until that point. In quietness and rest, your soul will find peace or whatever. But he says, your strength will come from settling down in complete dependence on me, the very thing you've been unwilling to do. And I felt so convicted, I wanted to share my conviction with you all this morning, because maybe we're all there. Maybe the very thing our soul needs is to settle down in complete dependence on the Lord and stop our silly efforts at trying to save ourselves and find peace in Him. And so that's the invitation to the Holy Spirit soul spa, that we would allow these 40 days, that we would get in touch with what's going on in our soul, that we'd hear, that we'd rest long enough, that we'd be quiet enough, that we'd unplug long enough or unwind or whatever we need to do to pull back and hear what God is trying to say to our soul. You know, I think the Holy Spirit is kind of like that still small voice that Scripture talks about. And He's always talking to us, but He's never going to insist. And so if we're too busy and I've got too many things to do, I can't be bothered praying, I can't be bothered slowing down, I can't be busy bothered or waste my time. Isn't that horrible? Have you ever said anything like that? I can't waste my time being quiet before the Lord, because I've got so many things to do. And I remember Yonggi Cho many years ago, he said, you know, I pray 3 hours a day because I'm really busy. And when I'm super busy, I pray 5 hours a day. For a long time, that made no sense to me. I'm like, how do you do that? I think you got the secret. You can't do anything until your soul is at peace. So let's pray together. Father, this, I think, is one of the most delicious invitations we've ever gotten. But let's just be honest right up front and confess that slowing down and settling in to complete dependence on you is the very thing we've been unwilling to do. Because we think we're going to get chewed out. We think we're going to have the finger pointed at us for all the things we've done and not done. We think we're going to find that when all said and done, you really disapprove of us. But in accepting this invitation, Father, would you brush all those lies and all those empty objections out of the way? Because we are desperate to find our souls again. And if we're going to expand your kingdom, now there's a grandiose idea, but Father, if we're going to be involved in this thing called kingdom building, we're going to have to do it out of a place of honesty and integrity in our souls. People can spot phony a long way off. And they're as ticked off about it and as turned off by it as we are. So, Father, could we know that as we find that quiet place beside still waters, whatever that is for us, it might even be on the back of a Harley, who knows. But wherever it is, would you help us? Would you bring that to the front of our brains, that we need to do that on a regular basis here. Can we make it an exercise over the next 40 days as we lead up to your resurrection? Because we want to share in the power. But my guess is we can't share in the power until we've been in that quiet, lonely place with you, like Jesus was. So help us to accept your invitation. Help us to get all the pampering that our souls require. Maybe it's been a long time, if ever. Help us to come out the other end, empowered by your Spirit, to do this work you've called us to do. Thanks for being present here with us today. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. And before we go this morning, this, I don't know if everyone's had a chance to meet Drew Marsh, but Drew and his wife Mary Ellen have been convicted, have been pressured, have been squeezed into planting a church, a vineyard church, on the Eastern Shore. And so, I don't know if you want to just say a few words about how that happened, or so.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. We've been, we really covet your prayers. You know, if God's in something, it'll be successful. And if he's not, then you might as well lay it down before you get started. But I know that we've been all over, but there's a lot of military people that are here. You get transferred all over the country. You spend a lot of time, a lot of different fellowships. We've been in, you know, obviously vineyards. We've been in down in Florida. We were in a Messianic Jewish congregation, and we had a great time down there. There's all kinds of different approaches that people have to the Lord. And the Eastern Shore, if you've ever been there, is very much a, I guess you'd say, behind the times. People love going to church. They love their meetings and their get-togethers and those type of things. But it's also very, if anybody's familiar with the Masonic Order, it's very pulverized with the Masonic Order from one end to the other. There's always one of their interesting places along the way. But if you, as soon as you cross the bridge, you'll find that there's a spirit of religion, okay? It's not really one of, let's have a relationship with God, but it's very religious. And once you cross the line in Mackinac County, you go into Maryland, free again. And I don't understand what the difference is. We can go to Maryland and find churches right and left. But right in Accomack and Northampton County, it's rough. And I really believe that God is really speaking, that he wants to bring some freedom of our relationships with God to that particular area. I don't care who does it, how it's done, what does it. I just believe God wants to do it. And I believe that this is the age since the last, not everybody's familiar with the blood moons and everything else that's taken place. There's always been something that's happened. If you go back in the 40s, you'll see that Moore Cirillo and Oral Roberts started their ministry back when we had blood moons and whatever else. You go to the next one in 1967. What started in 1967? Does everybody know? Charismatic movement. Boom. Now that was another one. This one, I believe, is the youth. The youth is where things are happening. And if we don't have the youth, we don't have a generation that we're passing on. Remember, God carries out his promises and his curses to the fourth generation. And if we're not passing on what we've learned and what we've had as excitement for God to somebody else, then it dies with us. And thank God that the Jewish people have survived everything, and they've been able to carry on their knowledge of who God is. They just haven't recognized Jesus yet, except for those that are kosher. Some of them have. And our vision is that on the Eastern Shore, there would be some place that people could come. If they have gifts, if they're talented musician-wise, if they're talented in singing, if they're talented with cooking, if they want to feed people, if they want to do the homeless, it doesn't matter to me. Because what is true religion according to Scripture? Widows, orphans, you know, who's involved in that? We all have our own little things. It's like, the churches have this Sadie Hawkins meeting, and they have this other little thing, they have that other little thing. But where are the people that don't know God? Where are they even included? Where are they thought of? Where, sometimes that's somewhere that we aren't. And I would just like to be where God wants me rather than where I want to be.
Amen.
And so prayer-wise, I hope you guys would continue to pray that whatever God is doing over there, if he uses us, that's great. If he doesn't, that's great. I'll do whatever needs to do to work that it will be successful. But right now, it's a open field, a fertile ground for what Vineyard has as far as relationship goes. Now, I'm not talking religion. Anybody can have religion. We can have our own religion in the Vineyard Church if we want it. Sure. We can do our three, four songs all the time to start off with. We can say our prayer. We can do like the Methodist. We can have a responsive reading. We can do anything. It all becomes a religion. And I don't want that at all. I want the freedom of you to share. Share what God has on your heart. Share what God has shown you today. I mean, I need what you have. No matter, the pastor needs what you have. The worship leader needs what you have. Because you may mention, like I was expecting us to go into one song from what he said. Everybody knows Breathe. That's a Vineyard song, right? I expected we were going to go there. Keith would take us there this morning because, you know, boom. We're talking about what is our essence of being. It has to be that God is moving us from one thing to the other. We can all go home. We can go out to dinner. We can do all these things. But we're going to heaven. When God calls people home, we're going there. But some people we bump into during the day aren't. So let's have our spiritual eyes and our hearts open to not take the Bible and go boom, 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 but say, hey, you know, I notice you're hurting or whatever. You want to come over to my house for dinner? You want to go, can I take you to the grocery store? Can I do this? And what is our answer in America if somebody needs something? Oh, let me give you some money. Missionary, let me give you some money. Let me do the, instead of doing it, I want to, Vineyard is known for doing it. Not for just kind of letting somebody else do it. We're known for doing it. I know you guys are into doing it mode. I can sense that this morning. I want to encourage you guys. Just do it. You know, whatever it is, whatever your pastor, your elders, your deacons, or whatever leads you into, I mean, do it. Because God's going to bless it. And if it's not of God, it's not going to happen. And thanks for letting me be here and worship with you. I enjoyed it. We had a great time, Keith. Tremendous job. Thanks so much.
So let's pray for Drew and Mary Ellen as they proceed in this.
Say, you know, he ought to think about being a preacher.
It's too bad he's not enthusiastic, though. Father, we are so grateful that you love us and you look, your eyes rove throughout the earth and you're looking for people who would help to extend your kingdom. And so I pray a blessing on Drew and Mary Ellen as they look at this whole idea of planting a vineyard church over there and just giving an opportunity for people to live and to breathe and to an opportunity to get active in what you're doing, just seeing you at work and doing it. So, Father, all the details, all that stuff, you've got all that figured out, the timing, and all we need to do is be obedient to what we hear you doing. And so we thank you for the enthusiasm and for the joy that is obvious in Drew this morning. And we just ask that you would continue to bring to fruition what you started. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Mm.